morning is if you all had a bit too much Christmas pudding. I wonder how we'd sing that song if we really did have that vision of Christ that we read about earlier. Do you think we'd be just standing there going, I am he that liveth? Either we wouldn't be singing at all, I suspect. We'd be flat on the floor.
Some of us have never heard it before.
Okay. Peter's brought me right back down to earth. Thank you, Peter. Now, it is true. It's a wonderful, wonderful song. It's quite old now, but these words are taken directly from our passage this morning. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. And it's a wonderful, wonderful picture, isn't it? And I want to say Happy New Year. It doesn't matter what happened last year. Happy New Year to you, because God is with us. Amen. And we're standing, as we said earlier. It's wonderful. What better place to start a new year than in Revelation? A number of people have said, oh, why don't you do something from Revelation? Well, we are going to be looking at the letters that Jesus wrote to the seven churches. And this passage really is a kind of introduction to that. And it's a wonderful place as we were thinking and praying about what we should bring to you this new year. This passage is a wonderful place to start. A vision of Christ. Have we lost our sense of our God, who he really is? John, the disciple of Jesus, wrote this book, Revelation, for all Christians in every age and in every place. Particularly, he wrote because there were many in the church at that time who were suffering persecution. But Jesus promised, didn't he, that all those who love him will suffer one way or another because of their faith. And we may have gone through other kinds of suffering or be going through other kinds of suffering. But John wrote this book for all Christians. And we'll see, especially over the next few weeks, how he wrote especially for seven churches in one particular part of the world. But also we shall see that in some way each of those churches has something to say to our church. Because the patterns of behaviour of Christians and churches, surprisingly, have changed very little over the years. And that's why when we read things in Scripture, they come home as if this was happening today. Because so much of the things... I want to say, though, that Jesus loves his church. As we begin to look at the seven messages he sent to the seven churches, there are moments where he rebukes the church. There are moments when he expresses his love for the church. There are moments that he commends the behaviour of people in those churches. But the one thing we absolutely know is that Jesus loves his church. It's a bit like when you tell, sometimes we tell our children off. If you're older, you might remember doing this. God forgive us, we've all done it at different times when we say to our children, you stupid child! It's a very bad thing to say because a child grows up thinking, oh, I'm stupid. My parent keeps telling me I'm stupid. Usually we don't mean you're stupid, we mean you did a silly thing, but we still absolutely love you. So if you do be tempted to say that to your children or your grandchildren, you stupid child, say, that was a silly thing, you would never stop loving you. It's a bit like that. Jesus says, I absolutely love the church. We've got to go into this new year knowing that Jesus absolutely loves the church. He's not always in agreement with some of the silly things we do, but he absolutely loves us as a church. And what we see from this these verses in Revelation 1 is that Jesus reveals this vision from himself. John is not making it up. He receives this vision directly as a revelation from Jesus. We need revelation in these days. Lots of people have good opinions on how things should be done, and that's all well and good, but we need revelation from God. We need to know which way to go, how to be guided, what things are right and wrong. We need revelation from God in these difficult days. And Jesus' messages for the seven churches are really for the whole church in the whole world in every age. John himself was writing from exile in a place called Patmos because of his faith. He was going through the mill And partly because of that, I guess, Jesus revealed himself again to him to remind him that he wasn't worshipping some small god. He was worshipping this amazing God that presented himself to him. And so today, at the start of this new year, I want us to put down our kind of New Year's resolutions. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions? Any of you? Oh, quite a few. My general experience over the years is that most people give up on their New Year's resolutions after about 3 or 4 weeks. You know, I will not eat so much chocolate. I will start to go to the gym every week, etc., etc., or whatever it is. We tend to give up on those things very quickly. And even, dare I say, put down the small prayers. You know, God can be trusted with our lives in amazing ways. He knows our needs. Lay them at his feet and leave them there. But let's remind ourselves of what a wonderful God we have this morning. We need that vision as we go forward. Or else we just settle, don't we? We become spiritually fat. And we just settle spiritually. What we have here is a marvellous vision of the living Christ. And Jesus himself revealed himself to John for all our benefit. Have any of you ever had a vision of Christ? I'm going to ask you that directly. It's probably, somebody there. Paula, Bridget. There are many people in their testimonies say, I think of a man called Fred Lemon, that's going back a few years now, but he was a Commonwealth Garden burglar who took going into prison as an occupational hazard. And his wife was a Christian, but he was a very wicked man and a very bad husband to his wife. And he was in prison for burglary on one occasion, and through the door of his cell came this figure, this bright figure of light, made him fall to his knees, and he bowed his life before Jesus, who came to him in that cell, and his life was radically transformed. And when we used to go around and tell his testimony, he said, I thank God that my wife prayed for me every day and that she stuck by me through thick and thin, even though I was wicked and evil towards her. But he says, you can ask her, have I changed? And he saw a wonderful vision of Jesus that changed his life. Paul, who wrote so much of our scripture, he had that wonderful vision of Christ, didn't he, that threw him to the ground. I think I've had glimpses of Jesus. Sometimes when I've been praying for other people, I've seen Jesus doing things for them in a kind of spiritual place. But if you've had a vision of Christ, then revisit it. Remind yourself what a wonderful God we have. John had this wonderful vision. Jesus came to this earth. He did wonderful things. He was crucified, then resurrected. He finally came. And then he went back again to resume his place with God the Father in heaven. But he is not the baby in the manger that we've just remembered over Christmas. He's not just the man who was crucified on that cross, but he is the exalted Christ who rules and reigns over every living thing. If you've lost the sense of Jesus being that, then I pray the Holy Spirit will move in every one of us this morning to renew that vision. John identifies with every Christian in verse 9. He tells us that over the centuries as Christians, we are in this together. We see that again in Hebrews. This great cloud of witnesses over thousands of years who are now with Jesus are willing us on. Don't forget who our God is. Keep on pressing on. We're in this together, suffering and enduring all that comes along with our faith, until Jesus finally returns. We're on a journey. It's a wonderful journey. It's bumpy, the road sometimes. But our Saviour and our God is Jesus, risen and exalted. And John wants to share this vision to encourage us. Jesus really is alive. It's not just something as part of our religion. He's all powerful. John must have, as he saw this vision of Christ, he must have remembered that time when he went up on that mountain with Jesus, when he walked the earth, and he saw this light shining from Jesus, the glory of God emanating from Jesus, this man he'd walked the earth with. He must have had a deja vu moment, going back to that transfiguration experience. And here now Jesus comes to him with in such glory and wonder. This is the Christ we worship. Have you forgotten it? Have you grown settled? Have you remembered what it was that began your journey back into that place of safety and peace with God through Jesus, who revealed himself to you? He may not have revealed himself to you in a vision like that, but each of us who are Christians here can remember a moment when Jesus became real to us, and that changed our whole life, didn't it? It began to change our whole life. John was in Patmos. In other words, he was in exile on the Lord's Day, we're told, the day of worship. But he was also in another place at the same time. It says he was also in the Spirit. In other words, he'd come to worship God with his whole heart and to give him his very best. And you can be in both places at the same time. Some of you know this in 2019. You've been in places of struggle, but then when you've been with God, you've also been encouraged and lifted up, and you've experienced his grace and his love afresh. You can be both in Patmos, in exile, and in the Spirit at the same time. And John was in exile, but he was also in the Spirit. He came to worship his Lord. And John saw this amazing vision. I don't know this morning if you suddenly had that vision. You thought, I'm going to church today. It's time I was getting off. Probably one of the ministers is going to preach and we'll sing a few songs and someone will take the offering and come and say. We kind of know what we think is going to happen in a way, don't we? But God might be going to hit you today in a way that you weren't expecting. Some of you have experienced that last year in some of the things that have happened to you. You've discovered God in a totally new way. I know sometime in the year we're going to have your testimony. He's told me he's going to give his testimony sometime this year. We're looking forward to that. You know, God has been so kind to this man. I won't take away his testimony, but you know, he's experienced a way that many of us perhaps have not experienced God, and he's standing here today because of our God is an amazing God who comes to us when we least expect it. Today you might go away saying, I went to church as normal, but God spoke to me in a way that I just had no idea he could speak. Some of the prayers that you've been praying for a long time may be answered today as you wait on the Spirit of God. We sang that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Not just help me to sing this song more passionately, but open the eyes of my heart so I can see you high and lifted. Our God is a mighty God. And John has this wonderful experience of a vision. Well, I think it must have been both wonderful and terrible, mustn't it? I don't know. I mean, when William or I walk onto the platform, you don't say, wow. We're just ordinary human beings with all our weaknesses and failures. But if Jesus were to appear in glory before you, I don't know. We might each react in different ways, but it must have been an incredible thing, but also a terrifying thing, mustn't it? Totally outside what we would call our normal experience. I remember some years ago, William and I have talked about this a little bit. You know, the Spirit does different things in different periods of life. And there are ebbs and flows. You can see it in church history. And in the century in which we've lived through, we've seen two or three waves of the Holy Spirit come across our experience and our nation. And in one of those periods, we would call it the charismatic movement. There was a period where the Spirit of God revealed himself so much more poignantly to Christians who believed in the Bible. And I remember, and Baptists are not kind of people who swing from the chandeliers too often. We're quite a thoughtful, reserved sort of people. We believe this word of God absolutely and completely. We would call ourselves conservative evangelical. But you know, in that period, I remember going to a minister's fraternal. It was a fraternal then as well. There were virtually no female Baptist ministers. I'm not allowed to say that anymore because no longer are they fraternals. They are ministers' meetings. And I'm glad for that. But I remember going to these conservative Baptist ministers' meetings. And one was at Blackhorse Road. You know Blackhorse Road, Baptist Church? Just an ordinary meeting. And there was about 20 of us there, ministers gathered, just for fellowship. And we just opened in prayer. And then one after another, we fell onto the floor of that meeting. And we were pinned to the floor of that meeting for as long as 1 hour in some cases, not being able to lift ourselves off the floor because God had revealed his glory to us in a very particular and special way. Once it happened in my church. We had a small church, about 25, 30 people initially. And it was very interesting. A missionary came to our church and was talking about Africa. And as I was just listening to this person preaching, God really came to me in a way that doesn't happen very often. It was so strongly, the Holy Spirit just brought me to tears. Something about what this man was doing in Africa and how much God loved his people. And again, during the sermon, I just went down onto the floor, face down onto the floor, in the middle of my own church. And that's weird, I tell you. especially for our church at the time, we were not used to those kind of things. And we certainly didn't manufacture them. And I think that's important to say. And there on the floor, I was being bathed in the love of Christ. I've always known about the love of Jesus for me, but this was in a very poignant and special way. It was very precious. I don't want to lose it by telling you about it, but as I was lying there, there was a little girl and her father who was a member of our church, and she said, "Daddy, is he dead?" And I could tell, even though I was communing with God, that he was trying to think of an answer to this. So I said, "Well, dear, I don't think he's dead. I think he might be enjoying God." He hadn't really got a clue, but it was... And then there was another young lady in her early teens, and I heard her pray. "I'm going to pray for Pastor Stephen. Dear God, dear Lord Jesus, I pray for Pastor Stephen. He works very hard in this church, and some people really make it difficult for him. Please bless him." And it was just so wonderful. God was so... It was strange, though. After that day, nobody came to me and said, "What was happening?" But we learned a lot from that as time went on, that God can do amazing things if we open our hearts to him. And I pray that this year we might know we have a supernatural God. We're not the ministers of this church. God is the minister of this church. We are his go-betweens at best, and often very poor at being that. But we have a supernatural God. And Jesus revealed himself to John in a way that John was really not expecting. He just went to the place of worship. He loved Jesus, and he went to worship him as usual on the Lord's Day. He got a lot more than he bargained for that day. There may be someone here who gives their lives to Christ today. I pray that's so. I pray the Holy Spirit will be talking to someone here who has not made a clear decision for Jesus, because your eternal life depends on it. And today you can come to Christ and give your life to him, and he will hold you for eternity from this day if you open your heart to him. You'll have a revelation of some kind of God's love for you that you didn't know you were going to get this morning. Well, we see this vision, and there was a circle of 7 gold lamps, the churches God loves, it says there. And at the centre of these gold lamps, a figure of immense glory. It was a vision that literally took John's breath away. He wasn't expecting it. And immediately John recognises this figure as divine. This was not just some man who had walked into the building while his eyes were closed. This was something else. A human figure, yet at the same time, with such glory and presence that his breath was taken away and he fell to the floor as if dead. You know, this reminds me of the centrality of Christ. We can do everything we can plan for in our church, but all that is not of any consequence if Jesus Christ isn't at the center. If he's not our vision and our drive and our goal and our purpose and our destination, then nothing else matters. It's all about Jesus, this vision says. He has to be right there in the center of it all. Our lives are not going to go in the right directions unless Jesus is at the center of it all. And John can talk about patient endurance here in this letter to other Christians because he knows that God is on the throne. He's not just some small religious icon. that helps him through on difficult days. This is Almighty God there before him. The sound of his voice is a voice like a loud trumpet. If you can imagine it, it's hard to imagine. John was instructed to write down from this voice the messages that Jesus himself, the risen, exalted Jesus, was giving to him for the seven churches and indeed for all our churches. Because this was Jesus talking to John. Verse 13 shows you the amazing vision of a figure like a human being, but absolutely not like any other human being. A gold belt around his waist, implying kingship. Hair white as wool. Eyes that blazed like fire. Feet that shone like polished brass. A voice like a roaring waterfall. All John's senses were overwhelmed. Verse 16, the figure held seven stars in his right hand, an angel to watch over each of those churches. Do we believe that we have an angel watching over our church this year? Jesus is with us. A sharp two-edged sword came out of his mouth. Weird pictures in a way, but very consistent with Scripture. The Word of God is the sharp two-edged sword that we read about in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Everything comes from this book that God has inspired and written for our benefit, blessing, direction, challenge, etc., etc. Out of the mouth of Jesus doesn't just come some woolly talk, it's the Word of God. His face was as bright as the midday sun. Sometimes you can stand here, I can stand here trying to sing. Well, George knows this. There's a certain time of day when the sun shines somehow over onto that window and shines right through the door and you can't even read the music. And sometimes he's noticed this and shut the door so at least I can read the music. But imagine, you know, that blinding light that emanates from this figure, Jesus. It says, John says, I fell down at his feet like a dead man. He didn't just sort of, I think I'll kneel, this seems more appropriate. He was down on his face. Dare I even look up? Because this Jesus is so wonderful, so glorious. I dare not look up. He's there on the floor in fear, in awe, in worship. Of Jesus. You can see that as well in Daniel chapter 10. Is a similar picture there. Daniel also sees an amazing vision of God. And he's thrown to the floor. But the Lord has compassion on John and on Daniel. Because at the same time as being Almighty God, he is also tremendously compassionate and close to us. Because what does Jesus do? As John is lying half in fear, half in worship on the floor, Jesus touches him and says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He has compassion. I am the first and the last, he says, the Alpha and Omega. I'm the living one. I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. I have authority over death. Write these things down. You know, I hope today that the Holy Spirit will awaken our hearts again, if we've grown settled. I do notice one thing already this morning, that 95% of us have all sat in the same places we always sit in. There's nothing wrong with that. God bless you. The dent in that chair is specially made now for you. And if I was that side of the pulpit, I would probably do exactly the same thing. But let us not be settled in our relationship with God, because we have an Almighty God who is dynamic and powerful beyond the wildest things we can imagine. This is our God. Things are not always the same. God can do amazing things in your life this very day if you remember just who he is. At Christmas has just passed. God's son was born in relative secrecy, wasn't he? As a vulnerable baby that needed to be nurtured, fed and cared for and protected. But now in the light of this vision, absolutely no longer. Those who will have ridiculed the story of Jesus will finally be put in their place. Because this is who Jesus really is. This is our God. The God of glory, majesty, might and power. For whom nothing is impossible. He's the one that we've pledged to serve and live for. He's the one we worship and adore. He is no small, powerless God of our own imagining. He's no earthly image or You know, I'm reluctant to say this in a way because I don't want to criticize other people, but how can you worship a fat statue of Buddha? How does this compare to a God who cannot be put in any form that does him even the tiniest bit of justice? How can we worship little dolls that are set up with altars and put strings of flowers around their hair and feed them every day when this vision of our God is so mighty? We need to remember who our God is today. This is the year we're starting with a mighty God. And he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And he can do amazing things. I'm hoping and praying that at the end of this coming year that we've just started, that we will have so many testimonies to what God has done, not just for us personally, but in the lives of those we love, in the neighbourhood in which we live, in the things that we've seen God do, people come into faith. Do you not want to see that? I don't want to just come here every week and go through the motions. I want the mighty God who is here with us to manifest his power in our lives and in our neighbourhood, don't you? This is the God we serve and worship. He's alive, he's ruling, he's reigning, and he is our God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for this vision that you gave to John that was tangible and real and so must have been so powerful. And Lord, as we close our eyes and just dwell upon you, Lord, forgive us for making you so small. Lord, without realizing it, we've made you a God of religion where we go through the motions of singing songs. Nothing wrong with that. Where we know what to expect is going to happen. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll give us such a vision of Jesus in our own heart that our hearts, our spirits will be quickened and awakened today. That we will actually be excited about what you're going to be doing in and around us and through us this coming year. Lord, we thank you that even at the beginning of this service, a number of people said you had answered very specific prayers for them. And Lord, there are many of us in this church are seeking you for many things. Lord, I want to seek you to see many more people give their lives to Jesus this year. Lord, that's my hope and my prayer. Yes, Lord, I want miracles of healing to break out. I want those we love, Lord, to know the mercy of our God practically. And we lift up those who are sick in our church, Lord, not just in the hope that they might feel a bit better, but Lord, that you might supernaturally step in and change their position and bring them back to us healthy, we pray. But Lord, forgive us for making that vision of you so small when we have such a mighty God. And I pray now, Lord, that you will fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. I'm going to put my hand up because I want to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. If you also want this to be today's prayer for you, then put your hand up as well. I'm not going to look and see who's putting your hands up, but Lord, I pray that all of those, Lord, who are quickened by this vision of John, challenged by the way we can so easily make you so small, today, Lord, we want to be filled afresh with your Holy Spirit. We want to be filled again tomorrow and on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and every day, Lord. But today we're asking you to fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Lord, and if there is that person, Lord, who knows today is the day when they give their life to Jesus, I pray, Lord, that that might be so, that they might rejoice that you have met them this morning. And if they pledge their lives to you, Lord, by faith, you will never leave them desolate. So, Lord, we offer ourselves afresh to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.